Harmonix released their VR rhythm shooter Autica on Early Access, and I took a look at it. Plus, Nintendo is entering the VR space. Kinda. Tonight is March 10th, 2019, and the Bobby Blackwell Show, featuring your calls and chat comments, is up next. So you would say, even if... Okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why. It's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash. Later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwell.
Hello, everybody. On Mar-10 Day. M-A-R-10. Mario, get it? Do the Mario. Swing your arms from side to side. Mario. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to do it for you, though. Hello, and welcome to the Mar-10 edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. My name is Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here at the Voice of Geeks Network, welcome. Head on over to our chat room over at Twitch. It's twitch.tv/VogNetwork. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night, such as the Breakman telling us he's hungry. That's right. That's the kind of comments we are getting if you don't join chat. We're going to get that kind of stuff. A little bit later on, I am going to hopefully be taking some calls. Nobody's been calling in, so this is a good time for you to get in. So just join our Discord server. Go to vognetwork.com/discord. That'll get you the invite. And then at the halfway point of the show, I will give instructions on how to join the show and call in about any topic. Or you can look down at the bottom underneath our Twitch channel, and we have everything laid out right there. Or you can comment on an episode over at vognetwork.com, we actually did get a comment, and it was from E3VL. He put it on the last podcast, which once again got put up pretty late. I'm sorry about that. Things need to stop being crazy during the week, because I do edit the whole show and like remove things. So if you subscribe to our Twitch channel, you'll actually get to see the episode as it aired, with all the pauses and all the technical hiccups, the stuff I don't put out on the podcast feed. And so that's why it takes a while for me to get around to the podcast feed. So I apologize for that. But E3VL put in a comment, because we talked last week about analyst videos. So like you go on, especially like we were talking about like the Nintendo Direct, and we're going to be talking about another Nintendo announcement tonight. And people will create these hour-long videos dissecting a two-minute trailer. And I'm like, what? Why? And E3VL says, I tend to skip most analysis videos, pointing out Easter eggs are good, like when like the Ready Player One trailer came out and stuff like that. But when they go into theory and speculation, most of the time, depending on who makes the video, they tend to be way off base when the game or film releases. As a rule, it feels like preemptive clickbait to cash in on the hype, and that is exactly what it is, which is why, Rob, if you're watching, we should probably make some of these and put them on the VOG YouTube channel. Actually, we don't care about YouTube anymore. We don't. They demonetized us before demonetizing was cool. And there was announcement, and people are already making like hour-long videos, what to expect, and it's going to suck and stuff. And even Nintendo hasn't released a video yet about something we're going to be talking about during the show today. So don't watch those. Watch my show instead. Watch OLR instead. Watch any of the other podcasts any independent podcast. And you know what? If some of those independent podcasts, if that's all they do is break down a trailer, as much as I won't watch them, go support them. We're all in this together. The Breakman says, how can it take an hour to break down 2 minutes? How does anybody have the time to waste an hour review of a trailer? You would be surprised. It's people that do what I do like to talk. And we don't shut up. And when we're talking about something we're passionate about, we can go on for way longer than you think we should. Fifth Dream Today says it's called fandom run away ASAP. That's true. So I do want to thank everybody that's here. The time changed. We changed time here. We lost an hour of rain here in my area. So we're kind of on an hour earlier than we used to be. I think that's how it works right now. So I apologize if this screwed anybody up, but we're still on at the same time at 8 o'clock. I hope that we get rid of daylight savings. Actually, I hope we stay on this time. We're on daylight savings now. Let's throw away the clocks that change and keep it like this. I am good with this. Questbuster says, you'd be surprised, Breakman. You can fill a lot of time with speculation and hype over 2 minutes. I mean, hey, I do an hour a week, and it's all me speculating on things. And Rob Roberts says, I am 100% with Bobby. I would like to just stay on this time because it stays bright later. Like, I was getting ready for the show, and the sun was still out. And I'm like, that's weird. Usually there's no light outside when I do the show. I mean, now there's no light. But in a couple months, my windows are still going to be bright. SJ100Matt on the time change says, blame it on antiquated systems that isn't used by farmers anymore. Actually, farmers hated it from the beginning because animals don't change their schedule when we change our clocks. It was actually for other reasons, and I can't remember what they were, but they're not the farmers, so don't blame farmers for this one. Let's go ahead and move on and talk about a game that came out on early access this week. So as we know, I am a huge fan of VR, and I am a huge fan of rhythm games, and a game came out from Harmonix, who I have a very love relationship with, Harmonix, called Audica. And Audica was announced, it was announced like a couple of weeks ago, actually, and it's a passion project by a couple of developers at Harmonix, which is a much smaller studio and has a lot less money than it did during the Rock Band days. So everybody still thinks Harmonix is this big AAA juggernaut. I actually think Harmonix was left in a worse shape after being split away from Viacom and MTV Games than they were when they were bought. So, you know, they've got to try a lot of different things because they can't. You know, Rock Band's not going to sustain them anymore. The plastic instrument market's kind of dried up. And, you know, there's not a new Dance Central game right now. So they got to do something a little bit different. And so what they decided to do was do something in VR. They've done a board game, but they've also done VR. And so now they've got a game called Audica. And so Audica, It's like Elite Beat Agents, or it's like Re-Rave, where you're shooting targets to the beat, to pre-created songs, pre-recorded songs. Essentially, and if you've played Elite Beat Agents, or I think it's Ostat Takei Owandan is what the Japanese version is, or if you have played, I think it's OSU. Which you can find on Steam, and you find people playing it with like mouse and keyboard and stuff, and it's insane. This is the VR version. So if you're wondering why they didn't make a controller version for it, it's because you've already played this game. So there are various different things that you do. You shoot targets, you hold on targets, you follow targets around while holding down on them. And then there are little melee targets that come out that you have to actually hit. So there's your Beat Saber. Which, in fact, it's kind of interesting. If you go on Steam, the game's been out for only a couple days on Early Access. And all the negative reviews for this game are, it's not Beat Saber. Like, that's basically what it boils down to. It's like, this is not Beat Saber. This is trying to cash in on the rhythm game fad. I'm like, this is Harmonix. They kind of helped create the rhythm game fad. Because I remember they created Guitar Hero. And then it got taken away from them. But, I played it for about 2 hours, mostly on stream. Some of that stream is muted, unfortunately. I learned that two of the songs get muted on Twitch. So, you know, there's a lot that I love about it right now, but it is early access. And so there's some things that can be improved on it. And I'm playing on the HTC Vive with the regular controller. So I'm not using the Vive Pro. I'm not using wireless. I'm not using the Knuckles controller. I wasn't using Oculus Touch. And it worked fine. And I really liked it. And this was one of the first Harmonix games. It's not the first, but it's one of the first Harmonix games where I didn't feel like I was fighting the controller. And because, like, in Harmonix games, a lot of times I am fighting the controller and trying to, you know, get it to register my hits, because I do play drums. And when I'm playing drums in Rock Band, I know I'm on the beat. But the game doesn't actually register it. You know, the MIDI pads don't register or whatever. So this, when I missed a note, 9 times out of 10, I understood why. Like, I knew exactly what I did. I knew what I did. There was, like, 1 time out of 10, like, the melee notes. I'm not a big fan of the melee bombs. Basically, these bombs come at you and you have to hit them. It's Beat Saber-like gameplay. And sometimes, especially if there were two of them, you actually have to hit them with both controllers. And sometimes it didn't register. And I'm like, I know I hit them. Why didn't you let me? That I kind of didn't like. But 9 times out of 10, it was my fault. There is a big difficulty jump between moderate and advanced. So it comes with, I think, easy, moderate, advanced, and expert. And I can't pass anything on advanced. And I think there's one song I can't pass on moderate. I have to go down to beginner. SJ1er Matt does say there's apparently a big update coming soon that will fix and improve a lot of the motion and jittering that I had. So it sounds like they'll be supporting it for sure. So if I was streaming, so I don't know if that was the jittering. I think some other people reported that there were bad frame rates and they weren't streaming. I assumed it was just because my computer was being overloaded by streaming a lot. They are hopefully still going to be support. Well, they better be supporting it. It's early access. It has 10 songs. Apparently, modders have already figured it out, because I guess on PC, if you have a music game, you have to allow everybody to create their own songs in it. And if you don't, you're terrible. So apparently, modders are already getting into it. I am okay with the 10 songs that are in there. I actually like the soundtrack. Like I said, there are 2 songs, so if you are thinking about getting it and streaming it, Gold Dust and I Want You in this game, they will mute the video on demand. And that also probably means they will probably get flagged on YouTube. So just be careful about that. These aren't all in-house songs. Beat Saber, they actually contracted out a guy to create all the initial 10 songs. These are actually 10 songs that have been around for a while. It's all like EDM, techno-based. And there's some good stuff. There's some stuff I'm not as much of a fan of. There's some good stuff in there. But they score you based on your target, like how close to the center you get, how close to the beat you get. And you can actually tweak a lot of things. It'll tell you what your standard offset is in milliseconds in terms of your reaction time. And you can actually tweak it so it conforms, just in case, like, there is a delay getting the music to your ears. Dark Tetsuya says maybe the modders didn't think it was hard enough without Max 300 or some similarly hell song. Actually, some of the things I've been hearing is that the hard songs are too hard, because there's stuff that they do that it's basically just rote memorization, which is probably what people like. But there are things that happen behind other things. So, like, you've got to, like, melee hit a bomb, but then there's a note directly behind it that you have to shoot. And usually with the opposite hand. So basically there are 2 colors, and you can customize the colors. And you can make them both the same color if you really hated yourself. And you have to use that hand's color to shoot that target, that color target. And that's all customizable. So you can basically custom, and you can even have multiple different profiles if you want. So it's very polished for an early access game done by a very small team. I was enjoying it. So if there is interest, most likely after OLR tonight, I will stream it again on my channel, and I will not play the songs that get muted. So maybe I can have a clean video on demand that I can put on the YouTube on the page, the VogNetwork.com podcast page for this podcast. So maybe I'll be your post OLR entertainment tonight here at VOG Network. So look forward to that. It's $20, and I think it's worth it. Other people don't. The reviews were mixed on Steam, And but to be fair, most of the reviews that didn't like it said it's not Beat Saber, and that's why they didn't recommend it, because Beat Saber's been out for a while. This is an early access title, and on the first day they said it's not as good as Beat Saber, so we didn't like it. Rob Roberts says, new Beat Saber songs are incoming for PS4, has me excited, but I want to try Autica 2 when it's on PS4, which I imagine someday it will be. Hopefully it will. It really depends on the early access and what they can improve in early access, and if they get some good momentum. Because that's exactly what happened with Beat Saber. Beat Saber was an early access game. It's still an early access game, I think. I think finally, like this month, it's going to exit early access. But Beat Saber was an early access title about a year ago at this time, and then it released on PSVR. So there's nothing saying that they can't put this with PlayStation Move controllers and play it on do it on PSVR, because you don't need to turn around. So it's a 180-degree game, so you don't need to turn around. Some people say that using the Oculus Touch controllers is better for it than using the Vive controllers. I haven't tried that. SJ Winner Matt says, people are haters about this because they want to put the Shrek and Rick and Morty soundtrack in it. Kaijudo says, there's a game I have on PSVR called Disco Something. You can play your own music in it. And Star Disco or something like that. There are a lot of games that are like that. Audio Shield is a VR title. It's by the same people that make I can't remember. Somebody in chat's going to say it, but I had Audio Surf. It's by the Audio Surf people. They made Audio Shield, and that actually will take in like any MP3 file, any SoundCloud link, any YouTube link, and turn it into a game. And so since they can do that because all you're doing is blocking, people assume it's easy for every rhythm game to do that, to just automatically generate a fun note chart, because Audio Shield did it, and Beat Hazard does it, where that's a twin stick shooter that's rhythm based. So no, it doesn't work that way. So Autica, it's fun. I enjoy it. Other people don't. And I will put a video up I'll embed it on the episode page for this podcast at vognetwork.com. It'll either be from what I record tonight, or it'll be kind of cut up from what I recorded the other night that parts of it got muted. So let's talk about the other big VR news that happened this week. Very unsurprisingly, we all called it. And Nintendo is finally jumping into VR, because, to be fair, the Switch Joy-Cons are actually really perfect VR controllers because of the HD rumble feature, where it can rumble anywhere, which really it only gets used in 1-2 Switch. That's the only time you really feel the power of the HD rumble. But for VR games, it'd be great. Now, you're not going to be using that here. But Nintendo has announced that they are getting into VR, and it is with Nintendo Labo. That's right. You're getting a Toy-Con VR kit for Nintendo Switch. So it's either, I think, $80 for all of them, or like $40 for just the starter set, and then there's expansion sets. But basically, you are creating you're creating your own VR headset. It is Google Cardboard. It is Google Cardboard for the Nintendo Switch. You notice there's no head strap. You notice that you're holding it up to your face. So it's more akin to like the Virtual Boy than it is an actual VR headset. Are you going to be playing Mario Odyssey in VR? No. Are you going to be playing Breath of the Wild in VR? No. Are you going to be playing F-Zero in VR? Are you going to be playing F-Zero on the Switch? No. So, but this is kind of, it's kind of interesting what this is, because you got to realize, with Nintendo Labo, and Nintendo Labo in general, because I have played with Nintendo, I got the first Toy-Con. It's actually more about the building, and it's actually more about the education of how it works, because they go into how this all works. And, you know, they talk about, here's how infrared bounces, and here's, you know, they do some fun things, and they're like, well, let's show you exactly. So it's an educational tool. And so that's what this is going to do. So This is basically, it's cardboard, and then they come with, it comes with the lenses. You'll basically be doing some very short VR experiences, which is probably pretty good for kids, because kids really shouldn't be in VR for a long amount of time. So I think that's what this is. It's more of a tool to learn how the lenses work. They'll go into a big thing and teach kids how the lenses actually work, how they refocus the image that's coming out of the Switch and, you know, make it so it looks 3D. It's not going to be the best quality because it is the Nintendo Switch screen is 720p. And there's only one screen, where nowadays a lot of VR headsets have two screens in them, one for each eye. It's not going to have the same kind of games, because I see Kaijudo in chat says, I'm worried about this VR Labo because in all those pics they don't have a wrist rope. Your Switch might fly out. They're not going to have games for this that would make it where things are going to fly out. You notice you're holding in every single thing here. You are holding the VR kit. You're not wearing it. There's no strap. There's no way to do any of that. So if you throw it, it's not going to be because of the game, because none of these games, it's going to be more like a ViewMaster. I think it's going to be movies, maybe very simple interactive experiences, but nothing you would get on PlayStation VR. The Breakman says, when the Virtual Boy come out? Hey, that is something they could possibly do. This is, now you can get Virtual Boy games and play them in Nintendo Labo VR. So the other thing that I can hear people say when we talk about this is, no, that could never work. The Switch is just too big to work like that. SJ1 Matt says, so on par with cell phone VR. Yes, this is on par with Google Cardboard. That's what this is. And you're like, no way. The Switch is just too big because we're so used to phones. They're much smaller, right? The Switch is not actually as big as you think, because if you take the Joy-Cons out, it's actually kind of a nice little decent size. And if you look at, say, the Oculus Rift Dev Kit 1, which was kind of the first VR headset that we had really seen, you would notice if you take a Nintendo Switch and you put it up right against it, the first Oculus Rift Dev Kit is actually bigger than a Nintendo Switch. And we were just fine with it. And actually, if I take my HTC Vive out and I hold the Switch up to it, it is it's just a tiny bit bigger than the HTC Vive. So the Switch is not as big of a device as you think it is. I will say the Switch is a little bit heavier than the first generation Oculus Rift. But since you're not wearing it, you're holding it up, it's going to be fine. It's not going to put any strain on your head because there's no wrist strap for it. I'm going to definitely be picking it up. It's going to be very interesting. I'm going to spend more time playing it. From what people who got the vehicle kit, which I haven't picked up the vehicle kit, said actually the vehicle build of building the vehicle kit was actually more fun than actually playing the games that were in it. And then it goes through and talks about how the strings work and how the stickers work and how everything works inside of it. And so that's really what Labo is more about doing. And then it's got the garage where you can build your own things. So you can build your own interactive VR experiences, I'm guessing, in this. But it's not going to be a prolonged experience. You're not going to be playing Beat Saber on your Nintendo Switch. Metal Mayhem says, I know I'm always ragging on Nintendo for being behind the times. Well, then you shouldn't rag on Nintendo. But going back to ViewMaster tech, that's 19th century tech. What's next, Nintendo cave paintings? No, ViewMaster was not 19th century. That's definitely 20th century. And it's not that they're going back to that tech. It's just the same concept of, on the screen, you have two circles. And this is how ViewMasters work. So you basically, and it basically splits between your two eyes where it goes. That's how the Oculus Rift DK1 worked. It's exactly the way it worked. There's one screen inside of the DK1. It was two, and this is also how the Gear VR works as well, the Samsung Gear VR, is that it's two circles on your one screen, and it just uses the lenses to make them flat again and give you the depth of perception. Also, the ViewMaster is a still image, and these are going to be moving images. And the Breakman says, the ViewMaster was so much fun for 3 seconds, 2 seconds, or one. No, it wasn't. Hey, I had fun going through and clicking through and seeing. Well, I didn't see 3D images. I'm stereo blind. But it was fun to go through and see those 3D images of things that I bought. We actually have a real ViewMaster downstairs. Now ViewMaster is an app that works with Google Cardboard. And I'm not kidding about that. People are already saying Nintendo Labo VR sucks. They've already created hour-long videos talking about exactly what you can expect. And the only people who have not released a video about Nintendo Labo is Nintendo themselves. So it's not PlayStation VR. It's not a Rift or a Vive. It's closer to... I'm going to even say it's not even a Virtual Boy. You're going to get more gameplay out of a Virtual Boy than you're going to get out of this. But it's going to be just something to teach about how – I think it's going to be more about how motion detection works and how the lenses work. And it's going to be more of an educational thing and kind of a gateway to get people to try something that's a little bit more than just cardboard. Fifth Dream Today says, is it a 3DS? No, 3DS uses lenticular technology, and this doesn't do that. SJ1 Matt says, I think this is huge, and I bet you Microsoft is scrambling to catch up with Nintendo and Sony after this news. It's kind of interesting, because Microsoft honestly has no desire to get in the VR space right now. In fact, they partnered with Oculus, and basically they're like, no, Oculus is going to do our VR for us. The news that got passed to me, this got passed to me on our Discord, and this is something that I've kind of been railing about because we talk a lot about physical versus digital. Everybody's going digital. Isn't it great? And I'm like, well, games are getting so huge now and bandwidth caps exist. And everybody's like, bandwidth caps don't exist. I live in New York. We don't have bandwidth caps. And I'm like, that's because you have five competitors. And if they give you bandwidth caps, you're just going to go to one that doesn't. Those of us in a situation where we don't have competitors, we have to deal with bandwidth caps. And so that's why I say I still buy physical. Well, even if I bought this game physical, I would still get a massive hit. 1/10 of my monthly bandwidth cap would be taken up by just patching this game. Game Informer reports that video games take up a lot of space these days, which can be somewhat of an issue, whether you're going digital or physical. It's never fun to bring home a new game, install it, and then have to download a huge patch preventing you from playing the game for at least another few hours. If you're on the PlayStation 4, you might be running headfirst into that situation with The Division 2 when it releases later this month. Ubisoft has a support page outlining what players can expect in terms of download sizes for the initial update. Of particular note is the PlayStation 4 version, which clocks in at nearly 100 gigabytes. Which is 1/10 of my monthly bandwidth cap. Considering the final install size of the game as the updates is the same as the update size, it sounds like you're just going to be re-downloading the entire game to go over the version you installed from the disk. Considering the disk doesn't hold that much data, some sort of large update would have been necessary anyway, but it is definitely pretty hefty. Actually, I think it would have worked. So, yeah, I think it would have actually worked on the disc itself. Curiously, the PS4's versions update final install size is nearly double that of the Xbox One and PC versions, although it's not entirely clear why. I have a theory, and I'll spend an hour talking about it. On the same support page under the Xbox One and PC heading, Ubisoft says to expect a 48 to 52 gig download, depending on your region and preferred language. Whether you install the game from a disc or bought it digitally, the final hard drive install size, including the patch, will be 48 to 52 gigs. So, the PlayStation 4 does this thing where you need double the space available to be able to download anything. So, if you have a patch, or if you want to download a game that's 40 gigs, you need 80 gigs available, because what it does is it downloads it to the hard drive and then it unpacks the compressed archive. It's basically a zip file, but not exactly using zip. and it unpacks it, and then it deletes the original file. So you need double the size. However, what this is kind of saying is that it's, you know, 88 to 92 gigs on PlayStation, where it's half that on Xbox One. A possibility for that is because they don't exactly mention what the Xbox One X enhanced version is going to be. Because Microsoft will basically take what anything that's specific to 4K rendering. And it will not install that or not download that unless you specify. So if you have an Xbox One X and you don't have a 4K TV, you don't necessarily need all the updates. Well, actually, you are going to need it for the Xbox One X. If you have an Xbox One or an Xbox One S, you can say, yes, I want to get the updates because I'm going to upgrade to Xbox One X. But if you don't, then you don't get the 4K textures. They don't get downloaded. They don't get stored in anything. So that's possibly why the Xbox One and PC versions are a lot smaller. That's my theory, or they have some better compression techniques. Metal Mayhem says, I think Steam does that too with the double size. Yes. Whereas I think Microsoft, because of the thing we talked about last week, was they have like their own file structure. So you download something and things are already in the file structure. That ain't good. I mean, I kind of understand day one patches, but like if we're not going to have the physical editions be just, oh, it's a download launcher on a disc, and then you got to download it. That's not good. Questbuster says Fallout 76's patches are terrible on the PS4. They demand so much space. You could just say Fallout 76 is terrible, and it'd be the same. Fifth Dream Today says, I'm still pissed that we have to download DLC if we don't pay for or use it. And that's kind of the same as the whole DLC is locked on the disc thing. And I get that. The only time I can understand it is like if it's an online game or it has the chance of you to go online, you need to be able to have the data. So when someone online is using, say, that car in Forza Horizon, you can see that car. Bandwidth caps need to go away. That's what really needs to happen. We need to do something that pressures the cable companies to stop limiting our bandwidth. We're going to take a quick music break so I can rest my voice for a second. If you want to go into the green room, head on over to our Discord, fognetwork.com/Discord, and we can talk about any of this stuff. But we're going to do a music break featuring a very old Overclocked remix. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice Geeks Network at twitch.tv/VogNetwork.
It's me, Mario. Not really. Obi-Wan Jabroni instead. You're listening to the Bobby Blackwell Show on VogNetwork.com. Sorry for the terrible impression, by the way, Charles Martinet. I tried.
It's okay, Obi-Wan Jabroni. You tried. On Marten Day, doing the Mario. If you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to do an impression of anybody. Just impress yourself. Impress me. Just send me an MP3 with just your voice with no music behind it to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Or you can send me a link to a video, or you can contact me on Discord, and we can work something out if you want to do a video bumper, which we haven't done yet, but one day we'll have video bumpers, even if I have to record it myself. So I think it's time to see if anybody wants to call in. It's been kind of quiet for a bit, but all you got to do is you go into the green room and the green room voice chat channel, and you type in the Bobby Blackwell Show text chat what you want to talk about. That way I can kind of screen and kind of mentally prepare. Because after 15 years, I do get to finally screen calls and mentally prepare. So I'm not as surprised when I pull you in. And then once you do that, I will be calling you in with Discord. So you'll want to kind of look for that. Sometimes it doesn't pop up exactly. But once you put in what you're going to talk about, I will try to pull you in. All right. So we actually do have one person that has put in what they're going to call in about. So I'm going to go ahead and try to call this person. And we're going to see if this is going to work out. It might not. So we're going to wait for them to pick up. Once again, kind of look at the side if you are on Discord to make sure to see when I am calling you. I do this a little bit differently than OLR does theirs. OLR pulls you into another chat room, which I may start doing. All right. So not paying attention, not seeing that I'm trying to call. So I will. So unfortunately, there was only one person that actually put in a screener. So like I said, all you got to do is enter the green room and green room chat channel. And then that will allow me to give you a call, and we will try to talk there. So we're going to try this other one. We're going to see if this one picks up. So Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Kai Judo.
Kai Judo, what's up, man?
Not much. I was just talking with Metal Mayhem in the green room.
Ah.
That was fun. I enjoyed it. But anyway, what I'm calling about, first, before I go into what I want to talk about, you're a Doctor Who fan, right?
Yes.
And I assume that you like Tom Baker, right?
Yes.
Well, one of the best things about Tom Baker that I saw in the interview is that when he used to, like, look into a room of, like, a spaceship or any type of new set or whatever, he would always look surprised. Mm-hmm. The reason why he looked surprised was because he never knew what he was walking into. He told people he didn't want to see the sets in mm-hmm. advance. So that's one of the things I always admired about you, not screening calls. I'm not saying that you shouldn't screen calls, but what mm-hmm. I like is how you know, you don't know what the call is going to be about, but you mm-hmm. do have the answers like 99% of the time. So you sure you want to lose that talent? You
yes.
Just go with the screening?
Yes.
All right. All right, well.
Because of that 1%.
Yeah. I don't know, I think that's kind of fun, like not knowing what you're getting into, mm-hmm. but whatever.
It's evolving.
Yeah.
I'm regenerating.
But anyway, I wanted to talk a little bit about VR. Mm-hmm. I've been messing with Oculus Go.
Yeah.
I haven't used my PlayStation VR in months now. And that's only just because, I don't like hooking it up. I mean, I would
right.
use it, but the hookup is just a lot of work. So I love the fact that I can just throw this thing on mm-hmm. no matter where I'm at, and I can get into VR. And I've been trying a lot of the video apps, and I want to know, have you been trying any of them? Because they have this this app called Big Screen, which I think is like, it has a long way to go. There's a lot of work they have to put into it. But I think this is like the future of like social VR, mm-hmm. Because I mean, we're all in there. I don't know how many people can fit into a room. I think the most I've ever seen was maybe 8.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, you have like a large group of people just hanging out in a movie theater, mm-hmm. just watching a movie and talking with each other. And that was like just some of the most fun I ever had in VR.
I don't have an Oculus Go, but Big Screen actually.
Well, I think it's on Oculus. It's like, yeah, all the other. Okay.
Yeah. But it's, I have the Steam VR version from mm-hmm. a while ago. And what I was using it more was to share like computer screens
yeah,
and stuff.
Yeah,
and that's one of the other things they were doing is like now you can actually do pair programming for. So in pair programming in developer terms is like you and somebody else are coding the same thing. And you can actually like in Big Screen, like literally like lean over and look at what's on their screen. And then in front of you is your screen. So that was kind of the first thing. I haven't done like the screen sharing that you're talking about, but I have done Altspace VR is, mm-hmm. And I believe that's on Oculus Go.
Yeah, it is.
And people can do that where they can put up on a screen, like they can have a YouTube video and send that up there. And yep. people are watching the same YouTube video at the same time. So I've done that, and it was kind of a social thing. It was neat. I haven't done a lot of that, but it sounds like you've done it a little more than I have.
Yeah, they have. I don't know when they're bringing it, but they're going to have like this. I'm assuming like a movie every weekend or something like that. Developers of the program, they're going to screen their own movies in there. Like they're going to get permission from different movie studios because I know when they did the beta, they did Top Gun in 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And, so like it looks like they're just going to have like movies of the week coming out and like everybody be able to gather in that one place and just watch a movie. And I think it's cool. I mean, it puts a lot of strain on my Go because like my Go actually got the overheat message. Like if
yep.
too many people get in the room,
mm-hmm.
I get overheated. So I actually don't like that. Like I wanted to test it. I still haven't downloaded the Steam game because if you download the Steam game, you can use the little program to show your screen
mm-hmm.
on it. So I wanted to do like a 4-man room and just see if that overloads my system or not, just so I can understand, like, is it that it's just too many people in the room and it can't handle it, or is it something else that I need to worry about with the Go? But I haven't tested it yet. But that's basically the story with the Go. But everybody else who's basically, like, tethered to their computer or whatever, they're able to get in there and like nobody overheats or gets booted out or anything like that. Right. It works really nice, but a lot of the video is still pixelated. A lot of the 3D, I haven't seen a really good 3D movie yet in there, but like there's other videos that people play in there, like just regular 2D, that mm-hmm. they, you know, they look pretty decent. But 3D for some reason is not working right. It always looks murky and really weird in there. But I've been enjoying it, man. I think, at first I wasn't a big believer in wireless VR. Mm-hmm. You know, I just thought like, you know, why I really need it. Like, you know, I don't mind wires, you know, like I'm not really that mm-hmm. Bothered by wires. So I'm like, you know, as long as you can hook it up and it works, I don't have a problem. But now I'm beginning to see why wireless might really be the big wave for VR and really get people into it. Cause
and it's what we've been working towards. It is mm-hmm. what we all knew, like people like me who've been around since, you know, the beginning with the first dev kit, we knew eventually we wanted to shed the wires. But we weren't going to wait for the technology to allow us to shed the wires before we started working on it and trying to promote it and stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm looking forward to a PC wireless solution, which they do have for the Vive now. I don't have it. But basically, that way, I don't have the wires. But what would be nice is, like with Oculus Quest, at least, as well, where it's all the sensors for your hands are in the headset. That way, I'm not tethered to a single room. Because right now, like, mm-hmm. if I want to use the Vive, I have to be in this room. And if I move my Vive anywhere else, even if I had the wireless kit for the Vive, I still have to take those sensors. I have to position them. I have to set them up and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's really, you know, getting rid of the wires is one thing. But getting rid of any external sensors, that plus the wireless, that is the aha moment. And right now, the Oculus Go does that because it's got the little wand controller that's sensed by the thing, so you don't have to worry about it there. But getting the full room scale experience without actually having to like mark out things in your room, mm-hmm. that's going to be great.
Yeah, I can't wait, man. I hope mm-hmm. you know, I hope the technology just continues to grow. Yep. Gets better, and I hope more people join in, because I mean it really is. I mean, it's not a gimmick. I say that over and over again. Mm-hmm. This is not a gimmick. If you don't give VR sickness or any of that type of stuff, you owe it to yourself to try this stuff, because it's nothing like it. Yep. And I'm gonna let Metal Mayhem get in, because I know he's been waiting.
All right,
but enjoy the show.
Thank you. So we'll bring in Metal Mayhem. We'll bring him in. We'll try to call him and see if he picks up this time. The Breakman says, VR is not a gimmick. That sounds like a box quote. I don't think it's a gimmick. There are a lot of gimmicky applications on VR. There are definitely a lot of gimmicky applications on VR. But VR itself is not a gimmick. So let's try to take this. Bobby Blackwell Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, Bobby. This is Raginator.
Raginator, what's up, man?
No, hold on. I'll try to be as concise as humanly possible. One second, I gotta mute your stream because I'm hearing a little feedback. Sorry about this. Mm-hmm. Basically, you know, the short version of the question is, seeing as you are more or less the same age as me, you've been...
I'm 29.
For a reasonably long time, and seeing a lot of games come and go, and a lot of systems mm-hmm. come and go, is there a relatively short period of time, like let's make up an example, 1987 through 1993, whatever, that is particularly memorable for you for one reason or another? Like, no, that's the period that you get the Nintendo and Super Nintendo, you saw Super Mario Brothers come out, whatever.
Probably right now, because I can afford everything. And because, like, I'm always making new memories. I don't always sit and look back at them. I mean, Super Nintendo was my favorite console. But, you know, I didn't get to play that many games back in that time. And I didn't know as much about, you know, games. And I still wasn't very good. But I think, you know, no, right now with the amount of games that are good that are out there from in even like one or two man teams, basically the most memorable time for me is the one that we're living in right now. Yes, I'm not a fan of everything that's going on, but I've never always been a fan of everything that's been going on in the gaming industry. So, no, the most memorable time is the one I'm living in now. And it's part because of my privilege and because of you know, what I am fortunate, the place I'm able to be in my life, the you know, the fortunate upbringing I've had and all that stuff, I'm able to be in this situation. But no, right now, with the games that are coming out now, it's the most memorable time for me. So what about you? Is it 1987 to 1993? Is that your most memorable time?
I would probably say it's more like the vast majority of the 90s, like let's say, I don't know, 92 through we saw, you know, a lot of the greatest NES games come out. You know, and Nintendo, the NES is peak when mm-hmm. the developers were really pushing the system to max. We saw the release of, you know, the Super Nintendo, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of great games for that. A lot of, you know, systems came out during the 90s besides that. Some of them were flops, but, you know, they did leave a bit of impression because they brought new tech like CD-ROM ROM to consoles, mm-hmm. for example. We saw a lot of great games come out like the Mortal Kombat series, the Street Fighter series.
Yeah.
Not so great moments like the Santa hearings because of violence in, you know, games, but that's notable, you know. But
I'm the opposite on that. I think that was a good thing because it made the industry get off their butts and do something, and they did it well enough that the government backed off. And so I actually think that ultimately it was good. What happened was good. But keep going.
And of course, you know, we also saw, you know, Dan 64. The PlayStation took off, and now Sony's a heavy hitter in the gaming industry as a result of that, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I mean, I could go on forever.
Yep.
And then you could make the argument that the 90s were the golden age for PC gaming because of Duke Nukem, Quake, Doom, so on and so forth. So, I mean, you know, to pick a really bad moment during that period, you know?
Yeah, no, it was a good time. But no, my most memorable is where we are right now because things are still great overall. Thanks for your call, man. I appreciate it. All right. So coming up next is Orange Lounge Radio. It's three people out in Sacramento, California. They talk about games for longer than I do. And we like to check in with them to see what's going on. So Sacramento, you guys there?
We are here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what's your memorable time in gaming? Do you have one?
Like most memorable time in gaming? Probably the good old days when Loki, myself, and Dark Soccer all first met when we were playing DDR. I think those were some good memories that we made in those years. Yeah.
Yeah. So now it's good, the last caller we had. So Labo VR, how excited are you?
Yes. Wait, Jamie wanted to share. Jamie wanted to share a memory.
I'm fine.
Okay.
Well, there was that week that I pretend to have the flu so I could play Final Fantasy VI at home.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty memorable. Mm-hmm. It was a great week.
I remember staying up all night to play Star Tropics with a friend of mine, so I'm excited about the Switch library, NES Classic Libraries, getting that game. Yeah. Should be fun.
I'm looking forward to see how they do the water thing with that, because I know how they did it on Virtual Console, and I know how they did it on the NES Classic, and I'm going to be interested to see what they do with the Switch version.
Me too. Very curious. Somebody will figure it out within the first hour of that thing coming out. They'll just speed run the game until they get to that part to figure it out. Yeah.
Well... I can't wait for the screen door effect in the Labo VR, because that's going
to
be...
Why you got to always go straight to the negative, man?
Because your console's not designed for VR, and you're trying to shoehorn VR into it.
I don't think it's meant to be that serious. I don't think...
That's fine. I'm sure it'll be neat.
Yeah. I think it's something... It'll be something that'll be cool for kids
maybe
to build.
Maybe I'll pick it up. I don't know.
And it'll be like, you can see a dancing Mario... you know, VR thing. That's why I was calling it in the chat. I was saying it would be like a ViewMaster, not like literally like that, but you know, it's just going to be a, you remember when the 3DS store had had like the little gallery where you could see little videos in it. There'd be like four random videos anytime. And that's where like that dinosaur office and all that came from. I think the VR and Labo, think along those lines. I'm not even saying it's going to be something that's constantly updated. But the only reason I say that, I'm not like shading Nintendo's attempt at VR, but I'm just saying like historically Labo has been, you build the thing and you have this little cool experience, this little mini game that you could do with it. And that's about, you know, what it is. And kind of like you were telling the listeners earlier, it's more about the education of actually doing the building and putting it all together. That's the part, you know, that, that the kids learn from.
Yeah,
they don't learn anything from that. At least not my kids. They're going to be like, I don't want to put this together. You put this together. Then I build all this garbage. They play it for like one or two times. And then it just gets thrown in the pile of garbage that's in the corner of the room.
I think it's aimed at a little bit older kids because it does have a very full on, like, here's how it works. And here's demos of why it works. And here's why the little spider follows the sticker, and let's do some tests and stuff. So that's all like after you build it, it goes into all that stuff. So maybe your kids just aren't at that point yet, but there is a lot of educational stuff in the Labo.
Yeah. But and you already said this, but don't expect Breath of the Wild in VR. But of course, some people on Twitter and the clickbaiters and all that want to sensationalize Nintendo's entry into VR like that. And I'm saying like, don't set your expectations at that level. But at the same time, you know, I don't think Nintendo is just going to like do nothing.
We could always get a sequel to Link's bow training like we had with the, Zapper. Whatever. I mean,
they're not going to do anything outside the Labo thing that it comes with. I just don't see them going that route, at least not now. If people really go crazy with this or whatever, maybe when Nintendo inevitably looks at doing a Switch XL or something, maybe they'll look at incorporating some type of VR at that point. But I just don't see that being the direction Nintendo wants to go in.
Yeah, no, the only thing I could see them doing is kind of like what they do with the vehicle kit. Is you can actually build the vehicle kit, I think Toy-Con 3, I think, and you can use it in Mario Kart. You can actually play Mario Kart. True. And they patch that in. So they could patch in, like, do you remember the 3DS, the puzzles? Okay, the puzzle pieces and stuff. And then when the puzzle pieces were, you know, when you finished it, you got this little 3D, sometimes even animated 3D model thing. That's the kind of thing they may put in other things.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of potential for it. I've seen a lot of these different apps that they have for, like, mobile games where it's basically... Like, I know they have something that sort of resembles Super Scope 6, almost. Mm-hmm. So they have a lot of these apps where you play almost like laser tag, except it's just with, you know, phones. So they could do something similar to that. I don't know what the range of the IR sensor is, but maybe they could get away with something like that.
Again, I think the dead giveaway is the fact that it is something you're holding. It's not going to be strapped in. There's not a headset or anything like that. It's something you're going to be holding, like glasses or something. I think that's the giveaway, that we just need to look at short-term VR experiences. That's what Nintendo's going to be going for with Labo, not anything long-term. But the part about integrating into other games is interesting. I could see something, especially a simpler game like Captain Toad, maybe, is something that they could maybe integrate a puzzle that you can use the VR Labo or something in. I just don't want to go hog wild with it.
Yeah, and Tiger Claw says, I wouldn't be surprised if third-party companies make these Labo VR knockoffs and sell them at a cheaper price. The problem is you need the Labo cartridge to use it. So they could make the knockoffs, but you still got to put the cartridge in there.
That's it. I'm starting my Labo Etsy store now.
There you go.
It's just going to have all the Labo stuff.
It's all going to be Virtual Boy.
Nintendo won't allow you to play. All the adult games.
Too hot for TV.
So what else are you guys going to be talking about on OLR tonight?
Another major company is backed out of E3. I'm sure you heard about this, although they're kind of, they're doing their own thing a little bit again.
They've always done their own thing.
Right, but it's interesting that they've walked away officially from the official table. So we'll talk about that as well. Speaking of Nintendo, one of their big games from this last year, one of their sleeper hits, they didn't do it. Square Enix did, but it's going to be getting a sequel of sorts. It's kind of a footnote there, an asterisk. I'm sure some of you heard, but stay tuned for more.
All right.
And Jamie's back tonight.
Yay!
And you might even be able to see her a little bit.
We just did.
You probably noticed we rearranged some things around here.
I'm excited. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, as always, Bobby.
So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here at the VOG Network Twitch channel. Come catch us live. interact with the show directly. Call in. Be a part of the show. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper piece in the show by emailing me an MP3 or a link to a video to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf. Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf. Twitch.tv/BobbyBlackWolf. That's me everywhere else. Or you can submit a feedback to the episode pages over at VogNetwork.com. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet, but we would not be able to make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you so much for the resubscriptions. Rob Roberts, yay, was his comment, and Act Deft. And then also we had a bunch of people hosting. So we're going to see if I can make it through this host list without it refreshing on me. So thank you very much. Travis Donovan, Fifth Dream Today, Pixel Pockets, Misty OLR, Veronica Isabel, Collision 28, Only Sonic, Critical Myth, Rob Roberts, Loki OLR, AJ Twist, Spyro 557, Jonathan, Black Mama 1977, Act Def, Tiger Hall, Bull 7708, Orange Wright, Dark Tetsuya, and Anime Jam Session. It did refresh, but it doesn't look like it did. Johnny Wu-Fi also was hosting it. That's the one it put out of order. All right. So that is it. I am out of here. And I'm probably going to play some Audica tonight later on Twitch. But not right now. OLR is up next. Happy Marten Day. Swing your arms from side to side for me. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the VOG Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.